terrible situation. I'm thinking about a time that I spoke before on a panel a number of years ago when Israel had attacked Gaza and Lebanon. It was a panel of Jewish people, including Ursula Franklin and Anton Querti. And Anton Querti said that he was ashamed to be Jewish and ashamed to be Canadian. This was when Ignatieff said that he didn't lose any sleep over the bombing of Lebanon and Gaza. And when Harper said that it was a measured response. Yeah, I want to speak about, make a couple of points. Somewhat about history, recent history too, as well as the dangers of this particular situation. I think it's a terrible time now, as James Loney mentioned, we're threatened by climate change, which threatens mass extinction, but also we come closer than for many years to another use of nuclear weapons, this time by the United States again, as well as by Israel.
Shame!
Shame!
So the first point I wanted to bring up was about the media. That we all know that it's the lies of the media, particularly, and a number of people have already talked about the demonization of whoever happens to be the enemy, particularly the United States. I think there's also the media is also guilty of omission of so many things, particularly now, and I'll get to it, the nuclear weapons. By Israel, as well as the stationing of already nuclear weapons in, by the United States and by Britain. There's also, in terms of the demonization...
Turn up the volume.
Oh, too closer? Okay, sorry. Okay. I was going to also say that I'm also a dual citizen of the United States and Canada. The United States has characteristically, from the very beginning, demonized its enemies. This goes all the way back to the very beginning of the formation of the United States. It comes about in the Civil Wars and the many other wars since then. Also characterizing the United States is the total wars, which makes it particularly dangerous and frightening at this time. And we certainly have the recent evidence of Iraq. There's also, I wanted to talk about the failure of institutions and movements to prevent or even mitigate the ongoing threats. There's the UN, people have mentioned humanitarian interventions that aren't humanitarian at all, but that often the UN, as well as the United States, intervenes where it should and doesn't intervene when it ought to. For instance, like in Gaza, there was no protection of people in Gaza. The sanctions regimes have been incredibly devastating, such as in Iraq, where at least 500,000 people died under sanctions. It's also one thinks about the siege of Gaza, which is again a sanctions program. I also wanted to talk about the particular military situation with Iran. Iran is now surrounded by 45 military U.S. military bases. Also, there's overall silence about the U.S. and Israeli nuclear weapons. There are still about 23,000 nuclear weapons on Earth, many on high alert so that they can be fired within minutes. Israel, Pakistan, and India have not signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty, so they're not monitored by the International Atomic Energy Agency. Iran has signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty, has no nuclear weapons, and is monitored. Israel has anywhere between 100 and 400 nuclear weapons. Quoting from Reform Judaism magazine, the seaborne second strike capability against a nuclear and non-nuclear attack against Israel. So Israel, in essence, now justifies a nuclear attack against a non-nuclear state. The magazine says that this has to be operative from the Indian Ocean, and hence strategic cooperation with the Indian Navy is an imperative. So Israel is, because of the cooperation with India, has a nuclear base for launching from the Indian Ocean. Israel has overtaken Russia now to become India's largest supplier of military equipment and expertise. A reporter who has written quite a lot about Israel and its nuclear weapons is Seymour Hersh. He wrote a book called The Samson Option about 20 years ago. Samson referring to the suicide terrorism of Samson, who killed up to 5,000 people while he committed suicide. So Hersh calls Israel's use of the possible use of nuclear weapons at Samson option. Way back in 20 years ago, he wrote that the size and sophistication of Israel's arsenal allows men such as Ariel Sharon and now Netanyahu, Barak, and Lieberman to dream of redrawing the map of the Middle East, aided by the implicit threat of nuclear force. As far back as 1988, Israel had the capacity to deliver a small nuclear warhead to a target more than 6,000 miles away. And just in the past few days, I got an email saying that the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, that some of these people who are very prominent heads of Jewish organizations, have advocated a tactical nuclear strike against Iran. We all know how vicious and incompetent and psychopathic many of the leaders are of the major countries involved in the U.S., Israel, Iran, and Britain, and Canada certainly. And I also wanted to mention the complicity of certainly, you know, weapons industry people and universities. So I have a couple of points in terms of possible things that we could do in addition to protesting and marching. I've been thinking about the times historically in recent history when soldiers have refused to serve. I think this happened at Tahrir Square. It happened originally in the Iranian Revolution. And we know that in the U.S., you know, more soldiers are dying have died from suicide than from battle in Iraq. So it's a very, very timely to target soldiers themselves in terms of you know, the possibilities that they could refuse to serve. Also, there's a recent history of people in labor unions, dock workers, refusing to unload military equipment. And this has happened in South Africa, in Greece, in Oakland, California. And this could be another very productive direction for the anti-war movement. So again, I just will close to say that this is really most alarming and critical time. I think that upping the ante, that things are even more dangerous than in the past.
No war on Iran!
No war on Iran!